Hey, Ms. Bahak here. And this is a really special episode to me because I'm very fascinated with being able to develop skills from scratch, being able to switch fields, reinvent yourself. And I've done plenty of that and I failed, honestly, in a lot of those. But in a few of them, I've succeeded. And I wanted to share the most fresh one that I think is like current, so I can document this a little bit. And there's been enough time where I can look back on it and go, wow, this worked out. So the focus of today's episode is going to be what I learned from building a portfolio in a completely new field from scratch and how I did this in less than a year. Honestly, it took about less than 3 months to really start seeing the effects, but I'm reporting on this at a point where I would say in another 2 months, it'll be a year. So I would say 10 months later, you know, what I'm noticing from this. Before we dive in, if this is your first time listening, by the way, the big question that I love to answer on this podcast and really explore in each of these episodes in some way is how do we as underdogs build our own table? How do we create a portfolio of bingeable content that reaches the right people, not millions, but the right people? And how do we do it in a way where we're staying true to ourselves? That's the question that I hope to answer in these episodes. So yeah, my name is Ms. Bahak, and this is the Habit Chess podcast. The context that I want to give you for today's episode is when I started Podmahal. Podmahal is a podcast and video editing business that I started in September of 2020. I had hit the 10-year mark in my fitness coaching career. I had done personal training, group training, and then eventually Olympic weightlifting coaching, CrossFit coaching. And then really where I wanted to end up was remote coaching, being able to write programs for clients, so specializing in designing workouts. And I got to do that for a roster of over 70 clients. I got to work at a startup that specialized in this and really absorb high level stuff that I still probably, that soaks in with me and I use today. But why that's important is because podcasting was the thing that helped me land my dream internship. And that happened with the person I met on episode 15 of my very first show. And then on episode 19 was when I met the person that hired me and gave me my dream job at this startup. And none of this would be possible without the portfolio I had built through my podcast, right? Just people I had on, and it was like, eventually other people were asking me to be on that were my dream guests in this niche. And so I learned a lot about that portfolio effect there. And then when I was working at the startup, I obviously got to build a portfolio again. I already had one from training clients, group training, all that good stuff. But like remote coaching specifically in that niche, getting to build up a portfolio of like over 70 clients where you're like, these are testimonials, these are examples, these are stories of people I have worked with. And that was, I would say, my real first shot at seeing, oh, okay, this is how I document a lot of these stories. So that was my first experience of, oh, okay, this is the power of building a portfolio. And then I would say in September of 2020, I had basically stopped doing that first podcast that I was doing. And I was bummed about that just because of time. I was delivering the clients that I had. And I was also, I co-created, co-produced, and recorded, like co-hosted the first 120-ish or so episodes of the Look Good, Move Well podcast. That was the show where I learned like what I was capable of and how I had undermined it this whole time because people were asking me for free, like after that, oh, how do I start this? What equipment do I need? And I saw many other really big shows get started as a result of me recommending this or that, because I was just like the guy who seemed obsessed with podcasting. And I was. And so in September of 2020, I left and I wanted to start a company where I could focus on this and I could really like. So in September of 2020, I left that dream job. I had clocked in 3 years. And I remember that was a point where I need something new every 3 years or a new challenge. And the challenge that still had not been fulfilled for me was doing my own thing, building my own table. And I had done it in the context of what I needed from being a 20-year-old in my early 20s or whatever, but being able to really take another shot of building something of my own and how I want to do it. And that leads me to basically the podcasting world, right? I had plenty of examples of in the podcasting world what I had done, right? But at the same time, I was trying to expand that portfolio and specialize in video editing. That's where I felt like an imposter, even though I had been doing that since 2016 in some capacity. I wasn't amazing at it, but I was doing it as a necessity because some of the podcasting clients I had needed video and I needed video for my podcast. And so I just learned it. And then I decided, okay, you know what? I'm going to get better at this. I'm going to focus on this because clearly like people need this. Clips were a whole new thing at this point where I was like, okay, everybody's asking me for clips. I'm providing them. It was only like, it was a full package that I was doing, right? For a lot of my clients where it was like, okay, I did the podcast, I did the full video version, and I did maybe two clips. So August 2022, just shy of 2 years of starting my business, I realized, okay, I got to go harder on this video editing thing. Like people are asking me to do it, like locally too, right? I'm getting asked like my barber and people who I'm like, okay, I'm not an expert in this, but like I'm getting asked to do it, right? So I decided to go back to Fiverr and revamp the Fiverr profile. I had dabbled with it, didn't really see it through when I did the first time, but this time I was like, okay, you know what? Let me go ahead and tweak my profile, put some of these gigs up at least, because to me it was like a Craigslist. I was like, okay, this is free advertising. Like they'll push my gig to people need this, and maybe there is somebody out there. Like maybe this time I should actually test an offer on Fiverr, even if I'm not going to make a lot of money. Let me just see, can I get somebody to buy video editing services from me who doesn't know me and from scratch, right? That whole opportunity of getting access to the warm audience who's already there to purchase. Similar to Upwork, I also did the same thing with Upwork. Now, August 2022, I put $5 per clip, right? That was like my absolute lowest that I could start building a profile. And somebody bought 20 clips from me. And it was in the middle of like when I was moving, right? So this was wild. I was like literally just so focused on trying to deliver this. I didn't have internet at some point. It was just such a wild mess. But I got the job done. And then immediately was like, all right, let me move it up to $10. And then it was also like I didn't get a review and that person couldn't afford the $10. So I was like, all right, thanks for still being a part of my portfolio. Then it was like, boom, got somebody who could do 10 bucks. Boom. Then I was like, all right, 15. It just kept going and going. And one project at a time, I will say that Fiverr really took off more than Upwork because Upwork, you have to be more active. I did get one of my very first like really awesome corporate clients who had like Fiverr really took off for me because those projects compounded. People saw the reviews that were getting left. And one of the ways that I just requested, I was like, hey, if you could leave a review with your honest experience, because you can't say, hey, leave me a 5-star review that will get you like banned. Hey, can you leave a review with your honest experience helping somebody who's on the fence about working with me? So that was really a way where it was like, what would you say to somebody about who's on the fence? And I got really awesome specific reviews that were really nice. And it felt like it was heartwarming every single time. It was so validating, even if it was for $10, $5, whatever at the time. And then obviously got more amazing as I got to charge $50 per clip, for example. And then at the same time, like just the other day, I upped my consulting rates the same way, right? Where it's like people started requesting too much. And then it was like, all right, to taper this down, I'm just going to raise the prices. And then still some people would buy. So this was like really starting to build up not just a portfolio within Fiverr, right? But at the same time, I was realizing, oh my gosh, like a lot of these people want longer term work from me in this. They like what I'm doing. I literally did not have to tweak the offer that I made, like on my Fiverr gig or whatever. If I did tweak anything, it was like, hey, please, before you place an order, make sure to reach out to me. Because I didn't like the idea of customers, like just people I didn't know, buying my stuff. I don't know. There was just something weird to it that I know that's awesome, but I wanted control of who I got to work with. And I wanted to know, what's the scope of this thing? Can I deliver on it? And I would also give custom offers. That was the other thing, like really give custom offers per project if it was going to take more time and all that. Anyways, I learned so much, iterated so much all up until now, but still you realize, wow, those reviews on Fiverr, because they worked there, I basically was able to, I had the actual review that they had given me. And then I had the clips that I had actually edited for them, obviously. So I started putting it on my website on a portfolio page. And not just the website, but what I did was typically when I was closing clients, oh, hey, can you send me an email with all this stuff? I'll think about it. So if you send them an email, that's basically a proposal. And at the bottom of the proposal, it would be like, here's what clients have to say. Here's some reviews. And it would be like, I would put like 15 quotes and examples, right? Of, okay, here are 15 different clients I worked with who are all maybe expressing the similar fear that you had. And I cannot understate how that helped me close so many deals, right? It's that helped me show like I have volume, I have access to and dozens of data points and clients versus just getting to work at one company under one brand and being highly specialized in one thing. I realized like that portfolio build, it was so much work, by the way, like to do this. I would say like a lot of work on Fiverr, right? To get it to this point. But at the same time, it was like easy because it's still only 9 months later, 10 months later right now. Same thing happened with Upwork, but like I just didn't put as much work into Upwork. I closed a client. We got like 250,000 plus followers or whatever on LinkedIn. And that's like their main platform, LinkedIn. And I do their podcast. I do a clip and a teaser clip on LinkedIn and Instagram reels for them. And it's basically like this very corporate client that I was like, oh my gosh, this is another sector that I can now, I use that as an example to close a lot of deals with other corporate clients. So anyways, my point in all of this is I undervalued the ability to go to a Fiverr or Upwork or places where all these people are already congregating that you want to work with, just to begin getting your feet wet in the thing, right? And getting to build an actual portfolio of experience. And this actually, I thought at first, I'm like, oh, this maybe only applies to like tech people, creative people, all the gigs that you see on Fiverr and Upwork. But it really doesn't, because I was watching this movie called Missing the other day, and they were using like in the movie to solve a crime, TaskRabbit. And then in the Columbia version, it was like Go Ninja or something like that. And it showed me, I was like, okay, there is a form of Fiverr and Upwork in every field, in every niche now. You know what I mean? Like basically a service that generate, like gathers all of these leads together in one place and then allows you to match up with a different talent, right? So you think about TaskRabbit, you have the same thing when you want to hire somebody to hang up your TV, to do paint a room, to clean, right? And you have the same review system where you can see the reviews and you can build a profile just on there. And the fee is, yes, you do pay 20% or 10%, 30%, whatever it is for each platform, but usually 20%. But it's, think about it, that's such a cheap fee that you'd have to pay more in advertising if you wanted to go that route to acquire customers. Like 20% is not that bad to get this portfolio experience for life. So in the short term, I realize whether you're in a blue collar field or you are doing something creative, like the best way to build a portfolio from scratch is to start testing your offers and hooks with some of these platforms. So if you want to paint, you want to do that as like a gig and you want to build a whole thing around painting, then make sure that you sign up for TaskRabbit and the other platforms that allow you to, like there's a new one that I downloaded the other day, I forget what it's called, but it's another form of TaskRabbit, right? And so you make sure that you're linked up on all of those, and your first 3, 5, 10, 25 clients, like now I have over 70 some 72 reviews or whatever on Fiverr. And they're all of people that are complete strangers I've never met. They're not my family or anybody like that, right? It's like pure strangers. And I'm really proud of that. Pure strangers that actually gave me honest opinion on what they thought of my work and paid for it. That's the biggest validator with some of this stuff. So if you're a handyman or whatever and you go on TaskRabbit, you acquire 3, 10, 15, 25 reviews, clients, and you make sure you repurpose that part because that is your work. You get to hold on to that for life. And you make sure that you build independent assets, which is typically a website. That's the easiest place is build a website where a simple website, Squarespace, Wix, or WordPress, build a website where you have a portfolio page of these projects and you can later expand on top of these reviews, right? That are like what you got to do for them and tell a little bit more context on each one, like the result you produced. But at first, the bare minimum is just getting the quote. Maybe if there's a picture, video, or something associated with it, great. But getting the quote up there and the name, first name at least, of the client if you can, and being able to be like build that. Now, if you're a handyman and you put your thing on TaskRabbit and nobody bites, right? Because that happened to me on Fiverr. That's why I didn't work on Fiverr for so long. And then when I came back to it in that August of 2022, I put up that gig and it started working like almost immediately, right? And I was like, whoa. And then I started like the compounding effect of that. So if you signify to those algorithms on that platform that you're a good worker for them, basically, they will send you more. Like they will hook you up. That is what's really beautiful about them. And these companies, TaskRabbit, Fiverr, they're putting millions and millions of dollars into marketing for the customers you want already. That's what's cool, right? So you get access to that for just 20%, basically, or whatever their fees are. And you get access to a lifetime portfolio that you can start to build on and bridge on an independent asset. I hope this was useful in helping you start to think about how to build a portfolio. I know it seems so out of reach. Like I work with new trainers all the time or new remote coaches all the time. And they're in a similar position to where I was, where it's, oh, why should you get into this? Like, why should somebody listen to you? There's no justifiable thing that you can maybe articulate. Like I've been in that position so many times. But really then what I realize is it's the work. It's like a handyman could be really insecure about their work, but if they show me pictures or some examples of what they've done, I really like it. I don't care. I want that. I want them. Or a barber, same exact thing, right? So I realize, okay, it's about the work. Focus on doing really good work that helps me get the next gig, and then the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. And when you do that 50 times, like that really begins to compound in a lot of wild ways where you have a massive advantage now, like I mentioned, of volume. Like I have access to data in the cybersecurity world and podcasting space, right? Like how that does. Data in the classic car channel world, data in the exterminator world, data in the barbering world, data in the like a show for dads, right? All sorts of stuff where you're like, okay, it's not just fitness. That's where it started for me, but I got to very quickly expand. And yeah, my pitch was when I didn't have more than mostly fitness type of clients for my video editing, it was mostly fitness related, right? And then it's all of a sudden now I get to talk about the classic car channels. I get to talk about the corporate podcasts and clips I get to work on. I get to talk about the cybersecurity stuff. So the power of this portfolio is wild because it takes a lot of work to build it up front. But I'll share another example of a gig, which is a consulting gig that I added shortly after when I saw that the video editing one was working. I was like, okay, let me do, and the video editing one was for short form clips. So that's working really well. So I'm like, let me add the consulting one. Then that starts to work as well, but it's not nowhere near as well as the other one. And I think it was just, I didn't put much effort into the whole, I created it quickly. I didn't revisit it and revamp it as well as I could have. But it still worked enough. And so I was like, okay, cool. And then again, I kept upping my prices to where I was like, I don't want people to automatically book stuff here with me. I want them to reach out beforehand. And I upped it to $150. And I remember at one point I had to back it down, right? When nobody was really biting. And I brought it back down to 50 or something like that. And remember that one, when I first started, it was like probably $5, $10 or something ridiculous like that. But Then immediately when I had 1 to 3 reviews or something, I would jack it up to $50. Or it was like the first session you could get like a Groupon for 20 or something. And then it was like more expensive, like a normal rate, obviously, per hour. And everybody understood that, which was, I was surprised by. Like, of course you charge more than $15 or whatever for this. So anyways, jacked it back up to $150. And literally, I land this risk analyst who is very established in their field and wants me to help them start a podcast and all this stuff. And they paid $150 per session for 3 sessions. And that closed so easily, where I just made $450 minus 20%, right? That Fiverr will take whatever. But it's like, now I got access to that story. I got access to that client. I got access to, you bet your ass, I'm going to go get more cybersecurity clients. And this was actually the second cybersecurity client that I got. So I used the story of the first one that I got to, and it was actually in that exact same gig, but they didn't actually see it all the way through. And I used that story to help just like motivate and close the deal and establish rapport and all that stuff with this second client. So portfolio effects still applied when in conversation, when I'm talking to the cybersecurity client and getting to use some of the learnings from that first one that I worked with, right? So anyways, I know this was a bit of a longer episode, but I felt like I needed to take some time to even break it down to understand it for myself, because I know there's more that I can share with you here that would be useful. But I want to keep it focused on how I built a portfolio from scratch in a new field, even though I was making money editing podcasts and video podcasts and stuff. Like, editing short form clips was technically a new field. Like, people, it was a new audience, right? New demographic in a way. It required new skill sets and it required new proof that I could do what I was saying I wanted to do. That was really cool. And I hope you are able to take this in whatever craft you have and do, and at least put yourself out there on those platforms, because you never know what it can lead to. And spend the time to refine and test. So don't just sit there waiting for months and you're like, oh, nobody came, it's not working. It's like, why isn't it working? Tweak what you need to. And if it really have to, then work for free. So you have at least a couple examples you can display in your portfolio when you are adding a gig, for example, on a Fiverr or something. And you have to show some examples of something you've done. And a great way to do that is do something for free, right? Like, people do this all the time in the photography world, where it's like, you'll show how you would edit or take a photo for Nike, right? And this Nike shoe or something. And it's, Nike didn't hire you to do that, but you can still use that as a portfolio piece because you decided to use that, show that as how you would deliver this quality of work for that client. So that happens all the time. Spec work. There really is such amazing access to build a side hustle, a completely different niche nobody would expect you to, and to turn that into a full-time career. And look, it's not ideal to just be using Fiverr forever as the only source. It actually makes you just as vulnerable because you're relying on one platform for everything, right? And so that's where being on the different ones and then being able to build a portfolio that then eventually not just gets you off because you want to stay on, but makes you independent of that, where you don't really need that. Like, I actually don't need my Fiverr, but it's really nice that I keep getting reviews, keep getting projects and the benefits of it being up there. But a lot of my deals now are off of Fiverr that are closed. And anyways, I hope this was useful. I know this was long, but make sure to hit me up if you have any questions. I would love to hear from you. And check out the links in the description below for more free tools to help you build your own table and help you build your own portfolio from scratch. I wish you the best of luck in that journey. My name is Mizbah Hawk, and I will talk to you soon.